You're listening to Pacifica's Peace Watch. I'm Verna Avery Brown. Over the past several months, the peace movement expanded around the world, holding mass protests and marches on every continent and growing by leaps and bounds in opposition to the U.S.-led war on Iraq. But despite its amazing strength and solidarity, it was ultimately unable to prevent the war from taking place. We heard the stories of civilian casualties and saw the images of the Pentagon's shock and awe plan being implemented upon the 5 million residents of Baghdad. But at the same time, however, Iraqis have in fact been liberated, to use the Bush administration's terminology, from the brutal and oppressive regime of Saddam Hussein and the crippling economic sanctions, which UNICEF once estimated were responsible for the deaths of 5,000 children a month. They've now been lifted. Some members of the left are now asking, did the ends justify the means, and was the peace movement right? For clarity and insight, Peace Watch spoke earlier today with Kathy Kelly, co-founder of the humanitarian group Voices in the Wilderness, and Jamal Tahat, a Jordanian newspaper columnist. We began our discussion with Kathy Kelly.
Well, I think that there always was a possibility to help Iraqi people move toward democratization and to be released from the terrible regime of Saddam Hussein, and that could have been accomplished through what was all along recommended by the anti-sanctions campaign, and that was to lift the sanctions, to support regime change through peaceful means by helping people in Iraq regain what they had lost because of economic sanctions. They had certainly lost prosperity. They had lost much of their middle class. They had lost ground in terms of education, communication, social services. I could never accept that the only or the best means to accomplish a change in the regime in Iraq was to launch $1 billion worth of explosives over Iraqi civilians in just the first 2 to 3 days of the war. The desire of the United States may have been for leadership change. We're not even observing an actual regime change because many Ba'ath Party members are, in fact, resuming their work. And some of the ones who had been oppressive and caused a great deal of fear are being welcomed back into political posts and posts of considerable power and influence by the occupying British and American forces. And so it's our sense that we are being pulled by the United States administration into thinking that war was the only answer and the end justified the means because now Saddam Hussein is gone. But I don't think it would be wise for us to think that the United States government, given its history in relation to Iraq, is operating out of an honest compassion and concern that wants to secure the humanitarian rights of Iraqi people. I think the United States wants to secure its political and its economic and its military interests, and so we have to be very, very vigilant in monitoring what happens to Iraq's oil wealth.
Notwithstanding, however, the agenda of the United States administration, you said that you think the sanctions could have been lifted. You think lifting the sanctions would have rid Iraq of Saddam Hussein?
I don't think it would have happened overnight, Verna. I think it certainly would have taken a great deal of concentrated and deliberate assistance by the United Nations and by the United States and other countries who would honestly be friendly toward Iraq. But I think that the people in Iraq would have been able to release themselves from that dictatorship if they had had friendly support and a great deal of economic assistance from other countries.
Jamal Tahat, a Jordanian columnist, what's your response?
Let us start from this point. The peace camp, whether in the United States, in Europe, or all over the world, we might lost a huge opportunity that we could be more efficient in affecting dictators and tyrants in the Middle East and all over the third world. But let me rephrase the question now. We have the problem of dictators in Middle East and in the Arab world. We have this battle between progressive and backwardness in the Arab world. Now, internal intervention, United States and European intervention, to great extent actually, affecting the battle line being drawn over years between progressive people and backwarded people, or the people who really defend and fighting to maintain the status quo in the Middle East and in the Arab world. Since maybe early 19th century, international intervention make this line or make a historical shift to cover this historical, let me say, conflict and historical interaction between democratic and liberal minded people and conservative and backwarded culture and people. What happened actually in Iraq? Peace movement, whether in the Arab world, liberals in the Arab world and all over the world, we couldn't really, first of all, draw a clear line what we are fighting for. What been happened fighting Saddam Hussein by American soldiers or toppling Saddam Hussein by American tanks, I'm not sure it was so helpful in this regard to, let me say, enhance the clarity of the battle line between democracy and backwardness in the Arab world.
A lot of people throughout the Middle East and around the world, for that matter, oppose the war. But while we heard a lot of protesting there, unfortunately, were not a lot of alternative visions being offered. So if we shouldn't go to war, what can Western democratic countries that may be well-meaning do about dictators in the Middle East? And that's not to say that the Bush administration would qualify as a Western democracy that is well-meaning. It has its own agenda.
Actually,
I think that's clear. Or is it not the responsibility of the West to be concerned with that?
The major issue now is how to globalize and to make this democratic movement more global and more international for the Arabs. The problem is the international community who really carrying this democratic banner is still until this moment very supportive to these dictators in the region. You know, and most of the democratic states in Europe and especially United States, Canada, all of these countries are involved in special agreements to support these dictators in the region. Especially they were very supportive to Saddam Hussein himself. Mm-hmm. You know, and now when we are speaking about what to do to promote democracy in the region, first of all, I do urge all countries, all European and United States and all democratic countries and government to stop support tyrants and dictators in the Arab world. This is a must. It should be done now. It's not tomorrow. It's nothing to be discussed over time. All Western countries, all democratic countries being involved in supporting dictators and tyrants in the region. Most of the maybe mass graves being committed by Saddam Hussein regime being aided and somehow assisted by Western governments, and it should be cleared and said loudly. It's not this game is over, and there is no justification for any Western country to support any tyrant in the region. This is one issue. The second, how we can really build international front for democracy, not only in the Arab world but in all over the world, you know, and to recruit Arab democratic movements, Arab liberals into this international democratic front. This is what we need. And we as Arab Democrats, Arab mm-hmm. liberals, we need to be part of this international front. We have this responsibility to explain the truth about the global politics and the global political dynamics to our people in fighting tyranny and in fighting backwardness and backwarded culture.
I understand you're passionate about this issue, as many people are. Let me pose a question to Kathy Kelly, founder of the Voices in the Wilderness. Kathy, were you in Baghdad during the Shock and Awe campaign?
Yes, I was there throughout the Shock and Awe campaign.
How do you feel when you see mass graves being excavated in Iraq of people killed by Saddam Hussein? Is there anything that could have been done on the part of the progressive left to lessen these killings?
Well, certainly I hear the passion of Mr. Jamal Tahat never to support the dictators who create such agony and suffering and impose so much fear. Never to support them. I think this doesn't mean that progressives should get caught up in endorsing preemptive strikes to accomplish regime changes. I think that we have to ask ourselves, what responsibility do we have for the dictators that were installed by the U.S., and why? Why did the United States want those dictatorships to be in place in spite of knowledge that was fed back to the United States about what these dictatorships were doing when the United States helped them get into place in the first place, as Fatna had mentioned? And I think that one of the reasons that the United States has wanted dictators in place is because then the United States hasn't had to worry about whether or not democratically elected leaders might want to maintain control of their own precious and irreplaceable resources, such as the Iraqi oil, and not turn it over to the United States people at cut-rate prices so that the U.S. people can continue to live in inordinately comfortable lifestyles while others live in abject poverty. So it may not be the most politically correct thing to say, Verna, but I think that one of the most important things that progressive people in Western countries can do, particularly those who, like me, enjoy comfortable lifestyles, is to seek to simplify our own lifestyles. To say we don't want to be guzzling so much gas, burning up so much of the world's fossil fuels and energy, and living without an energy policy in this country, and that in order to keep on doing that, rampantly, wantonly, we want enough threat and force and explosives and bombs that we can tell any other country in the world that they better buckle under to our pressure or we might eliminate them. Now, yes, we should be shocked by what was done by Saddam Hussein. But, you know, there could be graves in Guatemala that might be exhumed that would show thousands of peasants who were dismembered and mutilated and raped and then killed and buried in mass graves in Guatemala, and the United States installed dictators there. This isn't something that's new on the scene. And I don't think we should dismiss the hundreds and thousands of young conscripts who just a couple of weeks ago were pureed by U.S. bombs.
Well, in terms of trying to simplify the American lifestyle and finding alternatives to propping up dictators, I'd like to bring into the discussion a suggestion made by Rabbi Michael Lerner of Tikkun, who advocated taking 10% of the gross national product of the United States to be set aside and used for developing the infrastructure of third world countries. In addition, set up a program where every citizen would take 2 years of their lives to provide services to underdeveloped countries, which would be paid for out of the 10% of the gross national product. Is this something that seems feasible to you, Kathy, or to Jamal?
Well, Verna, could I just add, let's take even a tiny fraction of our bloated and shameful military budget and direct that toward creating unarmed, peaceful groups that would go into situations of conflict both in the United States and beyond and be willing to take risks upon themselves in order to have the privilege of trying to help develop peaceful solutions. But take that money right out of the military budget. Personally, I wouldn't put a penny into that military budget in this country.
And Jamal, did you want to comment on that?
What we need, actually, for internationally, to rebuild what we can call a democratic front against all sorts of backwardness and tyranny, that we can really address the agony of people in Iraq under Saddam Hussein and the agony of people in Iraq now under the American occupation, and the agony of people in Guatemala, the agony of people in heart of Africa, the agony of people in everywhere. And what we need, actually, and it's not only to speak about international front for democracy and liberalization, it's not a matter of dreams, actually. It's to stop this sort of historical distorted ideas when we are speaking and blaming the concept of preemptive strikes or preemptive strategy. It's not enough to lament this sort of thinking, but we need actually to provide our historical solution, our historical response to the current situation in the human history, and we need to readdress the history of the, let me say, American presence in the region and European presence in the region in the post-colonial era. And we need actually to invite all democratic and liberals in Europe and the United States to help us in redraw the battle line between backwardness and democracy in the region.
Okay.
If we still keep speaking, sometimes neglecting this very important sort of historical movement, actually we might keep producing Saddam Hussein and producing the justification for preemptive strikes forever.
Jamal Tahat is a Jordanian newspaper columnist. Also joining the discussion was Kathy Kelly, co-founder of the humanitarian group Voices in the Wilderness. She's traveled to Iraq dozens of times since the first Gulf War to deliver food and humanitarian aid. With other members of the Iraq peace team, she also lived in Baghdad during the U.S.-UK bombing.
Just look out around us, people fighting their wars. Think they'll be happy when they settle their scores. Let's lay down our weapons and hold us apart. But still, for just a minute, try to open.
Chicks. Natalie Maimes, the leader of the country music group The Dixie Chicks, came under fire recently for telling a London audience, quote, "We're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas." They made the comments in response to a tidal wave of anti-war, anti-Bush protests they encountered on their European tour. But back home, those 11 words brought on an avalanche of criticism and hostilities to the group, with radio stations nationwide banning their music from the airwaves, country fans burning their CDs in bonfires and crushing them with tractors, and making the Dixie Chicks the target of internet chat rooms and message boards for months. In the face of this massive backlash, the group has remained unwavering in their stance against the war. And while some country music fans have turned their backs on the Dixie Chicks, their bravery has delivered them a new crop of fans, some even in the heart of Dixie. Katie Barter is with the Birmingham Peace Project, which is calling for a national Buy a Dixie Chicks CD Day tomorrow, Saturday, June 7th. During an interview today with Peace Watch, we asked Barber if she's a country music fan or if it was something they said.
Well, some of us are fans of country music. I personally am not a big country music fan, but I do like the Dixie Chicks. And our main purpose was just to support them in not so much their anti-Bush statement, but their anti-war statement and their convictions and their courage to speak up, something that wasn't very popular, and especially among the country music scene, which seems to have been very patriotic in recent times, and we wanted to show our support from the heart of Dixie, Alabama.
Well, they've been accused of being unpatriotic for making that statement against Bush. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I actually saw the Dixie Chicks in concert in Birmingham a couple weeks ago, and I was really impressed with their stance on seeking the truth and how American that is. And there was one song that they did, and on the video they flashed scenes of different protests during the civil rights movement picture of Malcolm X flashed across the screen. It was gay rights, women's rights, voting rights for everybody. It was all of these black and white images as they sang the song about seeking the truth. And that really resounded in me, like, this is what they're about. They're about speaking up for what they believe in. And wherever you are on the spectrum, that should be applauded.
And you want to support them in a pretty big way. You're calling on June 7th, this weekend, as the Dixie Chicks holiday.
Well, we're saying it's the Buy a Dixie Chick CD Day.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, well, why are you supporting capitalism? Why are you, you know, why don't you just call in and request their songs? Well, we've done that. And we boycott. I boycott Walmart. I boycott Nike. I boycott things. But now here's a chance for us to support a group that, yes, some of the money will go to the CEOs of the companies, but the money will speak. It's a way of saying that we support you.
And have they suffered significantly, you know, financially as a result of their exercising their freedom of speech?
I've heard that their record sales have dropped. I really couldn't say exactly. I know there have been some pretty big media plays showing people bulldozing their CDs. And I know that in Alabama, I mean, every now and then I'll flip to a country music station and I never, ever, ever hear them. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard them since they made the statement.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's ridiculous, and I think there are a lot of people who really just like the music, and they're not political one way or the other. They're great artists, and I think they should be played. I think it's ridiculous.
And how will you measure the success of this event or this activity?
I don't know if there's any way to measure it. I'm hoping that there's maybe will be some coverage. I know the Dixie Chicks website, there's been discussion on that. Maybe it will show. I don't know if the Dixie Chicks would do an internal little look at how the sales went and if that would be reported. I hope it shows a little bit of a bump.
Mm. Katie Barter, we thank you very much for your time and your perspective. Any final thoughts on your part?
Well, I just want to say this idea was originally hatched by Eric Long, who just really wanted to show support from Alabama being the heart of Dixie.
Katie Barter of the Birmingham Peace Project in Birmingham, Alabama.
Can I read a quote from President Theodore Roosevelt, former president? To announce that there must be no criticism of the president or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but is morally treasonable to the American public.
The Dixie Chicks, commenting on the controversy swirling around Natalie Maymes' statement, "We are ashamed the president of the United States is from Texas." Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced in Washington, D.C. Our producer is Scott Gurian. Our editor is Lona Elias. Our engineer today was T from the Pattersons, taking the train to Tibet. And our associate producer is Angelique Shofar. We had production assistance from Jim Bennett and Otto Hammett of KPFA, as well as Pete Weiss. Thanks to Pete Caracas, RadioForAll.net, and Shane Rock at WebActive.com for web help. Special thanks also to our consulting producers, Matt Bradley and Sam Husseini. Copies of this program can be ordered from the Pacifica Radio Archives by calling 1-800-735-0230. If you'd like to support Peace Watch, we urge you to make a pledge through our secure online website at pacifica.org. Or you can send your donations to Pacifica Radio, 2390 Champlain Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20009. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the show. You can send your feedback to us at peacewatch@pacifica.org. I'm Verna Avery Brown, the executive producer. Thank you for listening.